Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We come with hearts that are open, ears that are ready to hear, eyes that are willing to see your truths so that we can be changed, so that our hearts will be in alignment with your plan and your purpose for our life. And we just give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. You ever get real excited about something, you try to share it with someone, and they don't get it, like you get it? You know what I'm saying? Like, you get real excited, you're like, oh, magic. And they're like, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And like, especially sometimes a Bible truth. Like, you know, one day you read the Bible, and you know, I think sometimes because we've heard something so much, we can forget how important and relevant it is. Like, for example, you know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that whosoever, well, you know, people just gloss over that real fast. But he said whosoever, that means you and I, we're a whosoever, right? And so we recognize that sometimes when we read the Bible, it's truth that's unchanging. And if we value it, then that unchanging truth can change things in our lives, right? And so last week we talked some about, you know, looking back. No more looking back, because what you look for, I have some good terms you might like today. I mean, the Lord gave me a couple of really good ones. Okay, you know, what you look at is what you long for. We talked about that last week, right? The more you look at something, the more you have a tendency to want it. Like if you go shopping and the salesperson says, can I help you? And you say, no, I'm just looking. And they go, okay, good, good. Keep looking, because eventually you're going to want something the longer you look, right? So then I had another one. What you observe, you will eventually obtain. Meaning, the more you observe and look at something, eventually you're going to get whatever you keep looking at. Does that make sense? Now, you may not think so, but you just look at your life, the more you look at something, that's eventually what you obtain. That's what you get. Because you long for it, you're looking for it, and then you, what? You observe it, and then you'll obtain it through observing. I don't mean just a careless glance. I mean a purposeful, steady focus on something. Amen? And then the last one I was thinking about is what you consider, you will conceive. Meaning, what you're considering in your mind,
yeah,
you'll start to conceive that in your heart.
Mm.
Right? And so, all those little nursery rhymes, when we talked about, be careful, little kid, what you see, what you hear,
yeah,
what you say.
Yeah.
It's all along a path of what you are looking at, what you're observing. And we're going to look at some scriptures today. And the reason that I've actually got more excited about this, because I realized when you sometimes it's difficult to take an honest assessment in your life, because you see things you don't like, and then the natural conclusion is, when you can't blame anybody else, you just got you. But if you own up to it, and you say, you know what, it's me, the good news is now you can change it, right? Look at Deuteronomy 15:5. Deuteronomy 15:5 says this: only if you do diligently hearken or listen to, pay attention to, the voice of Jehovah your God, to observe, to do all his commands, which am I commanding you this day, then you shall be what? Successful. You have to be willing to listen and observe, which is another word, what? To look for, to see, to do all that he's commanded you to do. Right? So here he says, for the Lord your God has blessed you, he promised you, that you'll lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, and you shall reign over many nations, but they will not reign over you. So here, that promise, though, is contingent upon the first part, which says what? If you are willing, diligently, what does diligently mean? That means you got to put some effort into it. Not something sloppy or careless. Yeah. You got to be diligent about it. Then if you are diligent, then what will happen? You'll be not only willing, but you observe. You want to see what you need to do. And he said, now if you diligently listen and do what the word tells you to do, then this is what's going to happen. You'll have success, right? And he said, you'll lend to many, but you won't borrow. Now someone said, yeah, but I had to borrow some money, so I'm in sin. No, it didn't say that it was a sin, right? Because if it was a sin to borrow, it would be what? A sin to lend. But here he's saying, as you grow in God, as you hearken, you listen to what he says, you are diligent about doing what he says, and you are observing what he tells you to do. You know, sometimes he may tell you to do something, but you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody ever do that?
Yeah.
Like, tell that person you're sorry, or I didn't do nothing to them. I ain't telling them nothing. I hope I never tell them anything in my whole life ever again. I don't like them. He said, just tell them you forgive them. No, I ain't going to forgive them. So right there, we heard what he said, but we're not observing to do what he told us to do.
Right.
And he's only telling you to do something because he what? He loves you.
Amen.
He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for you.
Yes.
And he's trying to get you, we talked about last week, on the path that it gets brighter and brighter.
Amen.
Right? How many of you ever look back and go, if I knew that, I wouldn't have done that. If I knew more then, than I do now. Well, that means if you had more light then, you wouldn't have done what you did, right? But if you follow the Lord, he'll give you what? More and more light. More and more direction. So looking back, and he's talking about future. So that's why we don't look back with regret and remorse. Because that prevents us from running what? Into the future.
That's right.
And everybody's had things where they could look back on.
Right.
Amen? And some still look back. Mm-mm. And then the years go by, and you think, like, when did that happen? Last week? No, that was 1994. You're like, 1994? That's over 24. That was like 20-some years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but it really hurt. Yeah, I know. But there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Because if you got a boo-boo 24 years ago, you got a little scratch or something, and it's still sore today,
uh-oh.
What's wrong? Your immune system isn't functioning.
Yeah.
Because you would expect to what?
Be healed.
To be healed.
That's right.
Now, you might have a little scar, right?
Yeah.
I always try to play it safe as a kid, so I don't really have any. I never broke anything that I know of. It's like, I'll just keep it safe. But if you had a scar, that scar doesn't hurt. The scar itself, there's a wound there that used to be there. Like my daughter, she's always, oh, look at my scar. So you disobey again, you'll get another one, right? Oh, I'm just kidding. She was in an accident. She's fine. I didn't do anything. Come on, people, give me a break. So, but if you touch it and you push on it, there's no pain there. That's just something that happened in the past. Mm-hmm. Now, if all she did was sit there and look, or I sit there and look at my past, I go, oh, I remember when that hurt. That hurt so bad.
Yeah.
That just hurt. Oh, did that hurt? Oh, and you tell everybody how much it hurt. And you just take pictures of it so you can remember how much it hurt.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Uh-oh.
What am I doing? I'm looking, I'm observing, I'm considering things that hurt in the past.
Yeah.
And so I'm not healing from those things.
Mm.
I'm stuck there.
Yeah.
Right? I remember one time I got, I don't like talking about, I don't like talking about the problems people go through, but one time I got sick with something. I had kind of like the measles type thing, but it wasn't the measles. And it was bad. Okay, I'll tell you what it was. I had got shingles. Right? And I thought, what is this? I didn't know what it was. And it just got a little bit sore, and then it grew. And then my wife was so encouraged. I go, how is it? She goes, it looks far worse than it did yesterday. I'm like, what? And my shingles had shingles. You know, I mean, it was, I was like, I wanted it, because it hurt. It hurt so bad when people go, I just want to die. I understand. I didn't want to go through this. And I had to pray. You know, it's funny, like, when you're sick, you have to purposely see yourself well on purpose, like before you got sick. And if you don't, because the devil is trying to give you this picture, like it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But when you're well, you don't get this picture of it's going to get better and better and better. So I had to purposely, intentionally look to something else than rather than what I saw. And I thank God, because it only took about a week before it was all gone, right? But I had taken pictures of it because it was bad. I used to show people that, look at that. And they go, oh, I'm like, yeah, I know, it was bad. And I thought to myself, why am I taking pictures of this? This is something I'm redeemed from.
That's right.
I got healed from.
Yes.
I should take pictures, like, you know, you ever see the before and after?
Yeah.
That's what you really want to show, is a before and an after. You don't want to get stuck on the before.
That's right.
So sometimes in our life, we can get stuck on the before.
Yeah.
But he tells us that we're supposed to be looking ahead, not behind, looking ahead.
Yes.
Look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 26. Now we know this story. I think it's a great story. True story, by the way. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But right away, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Right? Now I always wondered about this, Peter, because he said, Lord, if that's you, now Jesus just said what? It's me. It's me, fellas. Now, Peter, think about this. If it's not him, and he tells you to come, you are in trouble. Hey, Lord, is that you? Yeah, it's me. Well, tell me to come then. It's like, well, what if it wasn't him, Peter? You're in trouble.
That's right.
So Jesus said, come on, right? And I know people pick on Peter because he started to sink. But it said that, Lord, if it be you, tell me to come. Jesus had come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, you notice, Peter's walking on the water because he heard the Lord tell him to come.
Yeah.
Sometimes if the Lord didn't tell you, just stay in the boat. Right? I'm going to do what they're doing. Well, the Lord didn't tell you to do what they did.
That's right.
Right? But look, next verse. So, Peter, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, he caught him, he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, one version says it this way. It says, when Peter looked at the wind that was blowing. So we see that there's a storm going on in Peter's life. And yet, you know that him walking on water has nothing to do with, even if there wasn't a storm. It's not like you can walk on the water when there's no storm. You know, can you go out to the lake or the river or whatever and walk across? No, not on the water. And if it's windy and it's raining, can you walk across? No, because that defies laws of nature, right? However, here on God's word, Peter's walking on the water. And then he gets his eyes off of Jesus, and he gets his eyes onto what? The wind.
Right.
The whirlwind. You could say the busyness of life. All the things going on around you, all the wind, the storms. And his eyes are off of the Lord, and now he's looking at the storm, at the problem, at the circumstance. And the Bible says he's beginning to sink, right? Mm-hmm. And immediately he cries out, Jesus, save me. Help. Smart, right? Peter's got it, though, in some way. When you start to sink, that's not the time to get in pride. Analyze, why am I sinking? First things first is you cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me, Lord.
Yeah.
Save me. I need help.
Yeah.
Why would you just go under? Right? So he gets his eyes off of the Lord and he begins to sink.
Yeah.
And so when he realizes he's sinking, and he's sinking fast, he cries out to the Lord and says, immediately the Lord saved him.
Yeah.
Now what's interesting here is he's, you of little faith, why did you doubt? But how do you know he doubted? Because he was sinking. Because he was looking at something other than the Word. Right? You might, the Lord might tell you to do something, and you can do it. And it's like, how am I doing this? This is amazing. But if you get your eyes off of the Word or doing what he says, then you can start to what? Sink.
Right.
Amen? So, as we cry out to the Lord, he's always there to pick us up. Why? Because we get our eyes back off of the circumstance and we look on him. We start to consider him again.
Amen?
Amen? Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And we'll look at we can start with verse 4. Acts chapter 3, verse 4. Said Peter, fastening his eyes on this lame man who asked him for some money. And he asked him, he said, give me some. Verse 4, go back up. And Peter fastened, verse 3, start with verse 3. We'll go get more word here. All right, Peter and John went up together to pray about the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for some money. Peter fastened his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. Now here again you see the word what? Look on us. Look at us. And he gave heed to them. What does that mean? He's paying attention to them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, he didn't necessarily know what, but he said he's going to get something. And then Peter said, look, silver and gold, we don't have. Our wives have that right now. But what I do have, I'm going to give it to you. So now this man is expecting, as he's looking, he's expecting. And he says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his bones received strength. So he received something from them, why? Because he was looking to them. And Peter said, in the name of Jesus, or as the representative of Jesus, rise and walk. And he picked him up, and the people were amazed. And Peter goes on to explain, why are you so amazed? This, don't look at us. Oh, keep reading. Says he stood up, he was leaping and walking, he entered the temple praising God. You see, that's great when they're praising God and not man, right? And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that was him which sat at the gate Beautiful of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement. And as the lame man was healed, they held Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the porch called Solomon, and Peter preached to them. Why are you looking at us so earnestly as though it was our own power or holiness that accomplished this thing? He's like, don't look at us. You got to look to him. Look to the Lord. This is the one you crucified. Gave him a good message.
Yeah, sure did.
So you see that this man received healing for his physical body as he looked at Peter and John to receive something. He had an expectation. But he was looking to receive something. You know, when you come to the Lord, when you come to church, you should look to receive something from him.
Yes.
Lord, I'm going to receive something from you.
Amen.
Yes. I'm going to consider your word. And when I do, I'm going to conceive your promise or your word in my heart. And it's going to bear fruit in my life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at, now this, look at Jonah. We'll go to Jonah. Jonah, you know, Jonah and The whale. Now, I don't know. It says a great fish in the Bible. We just assume it was a whale. It could have been something huge, right? But we say it's Jonah and the whale. And look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. Jonah chapter 2. It says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto you, into your holy temple. When the soul fainted, what does that mean? When you're distraught, when you got emotions, when things go wrong, he said, I remembered what? The Lord. I remembered. That means I was thinking about the Lord. I had a thought on the Lord. I put my attention to the Lord. Look at verse 8. They that observe, what is another word for observe? Look at, see, view.
Yeah.
Lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now this, when he said those that observe lying vanities, and we're going to talk about this in just in a couple more verses down, but a vanity is something that just comes and goes. You know, we talk about in life there's many vanities, you know, beauty, charm, my handsomeness, you know, all these things. The Bible says that
Amen.
Life, in a sense, is a vanity because it comes and goes so fast, right? And if you observe, if you only look at what you can see and what you feel, the Bible says you forsake your own mercy. Because you're not remembering the Lord. You're looking at what you can see and what you can feel and what you can touch. And you're basing what you believe on what you can see, what you can feel, and what you can touch.
Huh.
Compared to basing what you believe on His Word.
That's
so
good.
Here Jonah said, when I remembered, that means he had forgot. Right? But if you forgot, it's not too late. You just got to remember.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't feel bad if I miss it. I don't give up and quit.
Right.
Like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Okay, but now I got to keep going.
That's right.
I got to remember that His mercies are new each morning.
Yes.
That He still loves me. He died for me. He cares about me. You understand? I'm not going to quit just because something didn't go right. And think about this. You remember the story in the Bible where it said, who sinned? This baby that was born blind or his parents? And Jesus said, neither, that the glory of God might be manifested. And people use that verse as though they think that this brings God glory that you're sick. But that's not true. And we can show it's not true because then he healed the man, the baby. He healed him. And if it was going to bring God glory for him to be sick, he wouldn't have healed him. But he said, who sinned? And Jesus said, neither. It wasn't the parents' fault. And it couldn't have been since he was a baby when he was born. It couldn't have been his fault because he was born that way. Does that make sense? And he said, and you understand, because of sin, Adam and Eve, they were in the garden, everything in our life has been affected because of sin. And so if something, you know, even, you know, your physical body isn't perfect. You might have one eye a little bit higher than the other. You know, like you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, what's wrong with this mirror? One arm might be just slightly different, you know. Just subtle differences. Don't go home and, you know, don't measure or anything like that. But there's, you're not perfect in that sense. You say, I just want to be highly functional. That's great.
Yeah.
Just stay highly functional, right?
Yes.
Amen.
But you look at plants get diseases, right? Plants get sick, and people in gardening know that. Well, did they sin? Did that plant sin? Did that dandelion do something bad to get mowed over by a lawnmower? And say, Mr. Dandelion, you sinned. You must be cut down. No. It's just something that, what? That happens, in a sense, in our life, because you live in this earth that's been affected by sin.
That's right.
But you're not, you don't have to stay there.
That's
you can
right.
believe God.
Amen.
For Him to move in your life.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So here, when Jesus asked, they asked Jesus that question, He said, neither, but that the glory of God may be manifested. And even if sin was a result of something that made you sick, you can still get forgiven for that.
That's right.
Get healed. Amen?
Amen.
So, I think if it's what we look at. What are you looking at? What are you observing? What are you longing for? That's why we say we read our chapter every day.
That's right.
And you know, we're in Titus and Philemon mm-hmm. this month. It's like, it's small, but it imparts life to you. Yeah. It helps you keep focused,
yeah.
even if it's a small thing. I mean, if it's so small and so insignificant, then why do we have trouble doing it? I'm not saying anybody in here, I don't know. I just assume you're like me. You want to get it done. Amen? Mm-hmm. I don't care if you listen to it or you read it. This is taking that small time because it injects you with what? God's life.
Yes.
His power.
Amen.
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 And it helps you stay on track to obtain the promise. Because that's why we read our chapter, because it reminds us how much he loves us, it builds our faith, it helps protect us, helps
yeah.
keeps us strong.
Yeah.
Amen. Look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Remember, Jonah said, they that observe lying vanities. Why? Because, have you ever had more money than you have today? Anybody? At some point?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever had less money than you have today?
Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Two hands up in the air with that one. Real. Okay, well, what does that mean? That means you've had more and you've had less. But in either case, the Lord's brought you through.
Hallelujah.
So you don't observe what you got because that's changing.
Yes.
Your life, the things you have, the cars, and all these things that we enjoy, they're great to have. But that doesn't determine what you believe
yeah.
because that's constantly changing.
Yes.
Amen? So look at Mark 2. I like this because it reminds us of our faith. It says, and Jesus entered in, or again he entered into Capernaum some days, and there was noisy in the house. Many were gathered together. There was no room to receive so many people outside, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word to them. So he came home. People say that this was his house, and there's all these people there, filled up the house, wanting to hear him preach. They came to him, they brought one sick of the palsy. It was carried by four people, but there was no room to let him in, so they had to climb up on top of the roof. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy was laid. And it says, Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the sick, son, thy sins be forgiven. Now this is interesting, because you know this story. He's preaching. It's like this. Say Jesus is here preaching. And this church is packed up. And there's a sick guy trying to get in. But nobody's making room for him. Because they all want, the best spot. So they take open the roof. And they drop the guy right here. And it says, Jesus saw their faith. He didn't just see the sick guy. And he said the word their faith. Because can you imagine, like, hey guys, be careful with me. I mean, I come for the meeting, but hey, we can come back another time. And they're real committed friends,
yeah.
right? Four
right,
of them.
Right.
Oh no, we're gonna get it done.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's easy for you to say because you're not being let down on that road. I don't know how high this is,
yeah.
right? But Jesus saw their faith, so
yeah.
there's more than just one here.
That's good.
And he says to the
That's
guy,
good.
"Son, your sins are forgiven." Now you would think. Wouldn't that make you happy? Because all the people there are religious leaders.
Yeah.
All the elders, the pastors, the deacons. They're all in the meeting. Right? They're all there. They were going to shout, hallelujah, his sins are forgiven. No. It says, but then certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God? Mm-hmm. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they reasoned this. He said to them, why reason you these things in your heart? What is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, scroll down, thy sins be forgiven, Or to say, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, take up your bed, go your way into your house. And immediately he rose, took up his bed, and went forth, insomuch that they were all amazed, they glorified God, we never saw it like this. Mm-hmm. Now here's what's interesting. This is my revelation that I believe the Lord showed me. You ready?
Yes.
You guys should like this. I like this. If you don't like it, I still like it. Okay. Jesus tells the man, he tells the crowd, which is easier? He didn't say harder, because that would make it hard. He said easier, so one's maybe easier than the other.
Yeah.
Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to be healed? And he says, so that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says, you take up your bed and walk. And they're like, oh. Now, if you understand that sickness is a result of sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was no sickness before sin.
Right.
Sickness and disease came because sin entered the earth.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's like sickness and disease is the baby of sin.
Mm.
It came from sin.
Mm.
And Jesus is saying, I'm going to forgive your sins. And they're saying, which is just like saying what? If he said, I'm going to forgive your sins, what's he really telling you? I'm going to heal you.
That's right.
Because if I forgive the thing that caused it,
yeah,
then you don't need to have the result of that thing anymore.
That's good. That's good.
If you have modern day, if you have bad credit because you owe a debt, and I said, I'm going to pay off your debt. So what happens to that credit line? It's clean.
Yeah.
You don't have to go around feeling bad anymore. So he tells them, look, okay, and these are the religious things. I'm going to fix this. Your sins are forgiven. Oh, man. They had a problem. But he didn't. Because he recognized sickness and disease comes from sin.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a problem. And Jesus says, take up your bed and go your way into your house. So when he was healed, it meant what? That his sins were forgiven.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Jesus said, which one's easier? To say it this way or say it that way? But just so you know that I can do both.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
So what happens? The guy gets up, walks off, says, boy, we did it. Didn't we do it? We believe God. And who were their eyes on? Their eyes were on Jesus.
That's right.
And it took some effort to get their eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? But they were looking at him. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She had to press through the crowd and she said, if I can only touch his robe.
Yeah.
She's looking on him. She's not concerned about her. She said, if I can just touch him, I will be healed. And there's all kinds of people touching him. I mean, he's in a crowd, and they're grabbing him, and he's walking to him. It's not like he's walking with some force field around him, you know, through the crowd and everybody's partying. People are touching him all over.
Yeah.
But nobody's touching him expecting him to heal them but her. Because her eyes are looking on him. Her eyes are like, look, if I can just get to him, he's going to make me well. And in your mind, you could be thinking, well, I got this situation, I'm dealing with this circumstance.
Yeah.
But if you get your eyes on him, he can heal that circumstance.
Yeah.
He can change that situation.
Amen.
Amen? Let's look at Romans 14. We're almost done. Romans 14. Romans 4. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 4. We'll start with verse 17. I haven't even got to the real exciting part yet. I mean, I know it's been great. The Lord's helping us. But I'm saving something here for you. Amen? All right, look at verse 17. It says, he's talking to Abraham. I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now this is Abraham, who against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. Think about that. He was not weak in faith. How do you know? It tells you in the next part. He considered not his own body, now dead. He wasn't weak.
No.
So let's flip this around. Let's just be honest. I mean, I'll be honest with about me. I don't know about you. But when times when I look back, like when I told you I had that shingles thing, that nice thing, the more I consider my own body, the less faith I have.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. The more I consider what's going on in my body, then I'm not considering what he said. I'm not considering what he did. I'm considering what I feel, what I think, what my symptom is, what the doctor report said. That's what I'm considering. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying I'm considering that more than I'm considering his word.
That's good. That's
so
good.
Someone said, I'm healed. I feel great. Well, what happened? Well, the doctor said I was healed. So that's when you got healed?
No.
But what happens when I don't feel healed? Or they say you got something else. Well, then I'm not healed. No, you still are.
Yeah.
It's what you're considering. Right? So here, Abraham didn't consider his own body that was dead. When he was about 100 years old, 99.
That's good.
Right? Abraham's 99.
That's good.
Now, I don't know about ladies, but guys know. I'm not there yet. I'm thinking, like, honey, let's have a child. Wait till our 90s. You'd be like, what? What is wrong with you? Like, that would sound kind of, I don't know if I'd want to do that, but, you know, people, you know, you wouldn't even think about it. And then Sarah, she's already had that change of life type thing going on. She's past that time to have babies. Now, this is what's amazing. They didn't consider their own body. They considered God's word.
That's
they
good.
Considered. They looked at. What you consider is what you're going to conceive.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Whoa,
so she considered the promise of God. And so he says, he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Why? Because he considered what God said. Giving glory and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was granted to him righteousness. This is amazing because it's, and this is so easy to do. It's about what do you consider? What are you looking at? See, if you will look at the promises of God, it will cure the problems you face, the circumstances, the situations. And you're not looking behind you, you're looking what? Ahead. Just like Abraham, he considered not his own body or his circumstances. He didn't consider it. And what did God do? God did a miracle in him and in his wife. God can do it.
Amen.
He made you. Think about this. He made you first.
Yes.
Don't you think he can tweak something in you?
Yes.
Since
yes.
he already made you to begin with?
That's right.
Say, well, my numbers aren't good. Well, don't you think he can adjust something in you so that your numbers come out okay?
Yes.
Don't you think? I mean, he's done it through history.
He did.
As you just keep looking, what? To him.
Yes.
Look
yes.
at naming the leper. Hey, go wash in the river 7 times. God changed it. God transformed his skin from leprosy to something lovely. Amen.
Amen.
He can do it.
Yeah.
He made you to begin with. So here's the point. The thing I want you to consider. If we read, and we did, we just read, how Abraham didn't consider his own body. He wouldn't consider it. He'd consider the promise that God made.
Yeah.
And you look at the guy who was laid down, the guy with palsy, who got dropped down into the middle of Jesus' preaching session,
mm-hmm.
his teaching session, church. All the religious people there, none of them got healed.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. Mm-hmm. But he's preaching, and none of them get healed. They're all against him. Ah, who's this guy? Who does he think he is? And he already told them. But they wouldn't believe, because they're looking for something else. Right? And here's what I found most amazing. Abraham's faith was great because he didn't consider his own body. Right? And this is what it dawned on me. Early in the morning, I was woke up, I was just thinking. I mean, I'm not real spiritual. I'm just thinking. That's all. And so this thought came. It's a good thing you didn't have to see yourself before you gave yourself to Jesus. Spiritually. Because if you would have saw the mess you were in, you would have had faith to believe him to save you. I mean, all you have to work on now is your physical body. You understand what I'm saying? It's like taking a car that was smashed and restoring it to something beautiful. You were in such terrible condition. I was thinking about, maybe this is talking to me, not you, but to me.
Wow.
In such terrible condition before you gave your heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
That you could actually have seen yourself, you couldn't believe that he could do something with you to save you.
Wow.
Because you wouldn't be in that atmosphere of faith. Make sense?
Yeah.
You couldn't believe, man, God, you're so smart because you didn't let me see how bad I was.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't believe you, because it takes faith.
Yes.
I couldn't believe you to get me fixed up to even the degree I am now.
Wow.
I was, when people say I was hopeless and lost, then you don't know the half of it. You don't know what mango mess you were.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
You were dead spiritually. Who knows what that looks like? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And all you got to do is believe in him. He said, I don't want you to see what you used to look like. Because you couldn't believe to get saved.
Because
if you think, well, I could have. Well, okay, if you could have. Where are you now? You say, well, I got this symptom. You don't understand. My finger, it just doesn't bend all the way. And I'm not sure if God wants it to bend all the way. I'm believing for healing, but I'm just not sure. Because it hurts, you know. If you think that's a big deal. That's why he said, which one's easier? To say, you're healed or you're forgiven?
Oh.
He said, because getting you born again was a far greater work.
Ooh.
Far greater.
Wow.
Than just fixing your body.
Wow.
Because he had to create something that never was.
Wow.
All he's doing with your body is fixing something that already is.
Wow.
To you, it's a big deal because you don't know anything else. They, well, I don't know, man. This is a tough one for God. Now, think about it. If you would have been there, how would you have gotten saved if you knew what you were like before you got saved?
Yeah.
So I got to believe him to fix me? Oh, this is impossible. And then you couldn't have gotten saved because without faith, you can't please God. But he saved you.
Yes.
And he caused you to get born again, remade your heart, raised you from the dead. Because when you were dead, you couldn't even have faith to get saved. You just sat there and go, man, I wish somebody could help me. This is bad. This is bad. But he saved you. So if he saved you, and all he said, all you got to do is just work with me. Believe that I raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, he made it so simple. He didn't have to show you what you actually look like.
Yeah.
Did he?
No.
God, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
He's so smart. Because nobody could get saved if they knew what they, I mean, if you hadn't believed. If you had to believe, you had to believe to get saved. You could see yourself spiritually before you got saved. You wouldn't have the faith to get saved because you wouldn't believe he could do it.
Yeah.
Because if you could have believed he could do it, then you could believe he could heal you today.
That's right.
Because what you see and what you feel is so small compared to what you were spiritually.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So how do we get saved? How do we get filled? How do we get healed? Consider him. Look to him. When you're facing a situation, or you get an evil report or a circumstance, like Jonah, don't observe. Yeah, it happened. But it's a lying vanity. Why? Because it's not permanent.
Yeah.
It's coming and it's going.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The thing that's going to remain constant is his word.
Yes.
His word never changes.
Yes.
So when you're facing something, you got a situation, okay, fine. But I'm looking to the word that won't change. I'm going to be like Abraham. Not consider. I understand it's there. But it's not what I believe.
Yes.
I'm not moved by that. That's not my hope is in my physical body. Or what the doctors can or cannot do.
Yeah.
My hope is in the Lord.
Yes.
And he's got you covered because he created you. He raised you from the dead.
Hallelujah.
You didn't even have to see what you looked like when you were dead. think, man, that would have been tough. I don't think I could have made it. I'm just telling you. Seeing all the mess I was in, people think you got problems now when you're saved. Think about when you weren't saved.
Yeah.
There's no way you could believe for it. And he saved you from that.
Yeah.
So he said, now I can just make little tweaks in you here and there. It's much easier to heal you, much less a miracle to heal your body than to raise you from the dead.
Lord,
amen? So when you look at him, go, Lord, you can do this. This is simple for you. Don't consider your body. Don't consider the lab. Don't consider the problems or the strife. Or don't consider that. Consider him.
Amen.
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 Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we purpose in our heart to look to you. And as we look to you, we will have a greater longing for you. Not only that, Lord, but we will observe your word. And when we observe your promises, we can obtain them. Things can change in our life. As we consider your truths, Lord, we can conceive your promises in our heart. So Lord, I purpose today in my heart, when we're faced with situations and circumstances, we won't look to them. We won't look to this, what's going on, but we look to you. We look to your word. We'll consider you. We'll long for you. We'll long for your promise. Lord, we'll hold on to it. We will not observe lying vanities as though they're truth, as though they're constant, because they're not.
That's right.
Lord, but we'll consider your word.
Yeah.
Your unchanging, unfailing, ever-existing word. We'll just thank you. When the storms of life are blowing around us, the wind and the waves, Lord, we'll keep our eyes on you. And you'll walk with us. You'll bring peace to the situation and the circumstance. Whereas we walk with you, our eyes are only on you. We just thank you for it. We purpose in our heart this today and the rest of this week to keep looking to you in every area of life. Keep observing and considering what you've done, what you've said. And then we'll grow in success. Lord, success without remorse, without regret. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, honestly, I all the things with war and everything going on. Somebody said, you know, San Antonio has a lot of bases. What if the Russians nuke you? Why even worry about it? You understand? And in Russia, they're going, you know, Moscow has a lot of bases. What if the U.S. nukes you? You know, don't observe those things.
No.
They don't bring peace.
No.
Right? You just keep trusting in the Lord.
That's right.
The Lord will keep you. Amen?
Amen.
As our eyes are on him.
Amen.
And these people that receive miracles and things in life, they're no different than you and I. No different. You just get your eyes on him. And don't look back. He said, don't look back. Just keep your eyes on me. He's walking ahead. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on him. Amen?
Amen.
I'm excited because as we keep our eyes on him, the Lord does things for us. Miracles occur.
Yes.
Things start to go our way.
Yes.
We can give him testimonies and praises. Amen.
Yes.
This is the great, wonderful things that the Lord is doing.
He is doing great and mighty.
Okay. Offering? Yes. We'll go ahead and get ready. Take up offering. And if you need an envelope. And again, you know, I think about this. But you know what's exciting to me is knowing that when you give into the kingdom, when you give to the Lord, what you give, it lasts forever. Amen? I want you to understand that it lasts forever. You'll never lose it. It won't go away. You know, if I bought season tickets to a sports team, well, that's gone. Right? I mean, I comes and it goes. But with him, what you give, it lasts forever. Amen. That's exciting to me. It's like I'm not losing anything. It's just going ahead of me. And Jesus ain't going to lose it. It's all good. Amen. So, hold your offering toward heaven. Tithe your offering. And I'll just say a simple prayer. And you say a prayer for what you believe in the Lord for. And your eyes are on him. Amen. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to give. And we give today with a happy, cheerful, glad heart, knowing that whatever we sow, we will also reap. Lord, but we look to you to supply our needs, not to ourselves, not to others. We know you have many sources. Lord, many avenues, many outlets. But you're the one and true means the one and true way, the only source, Jehovah Jireh. You are the one that provides. So where we have all these different avenues, Lord, we look to you as the source of all sources. And we just thank you that we get to give with a glad, cheerful heart, with something not because we have to, but because we want to. We love you. We just thank you for that privilege and opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, be blessed as you give. A couple announcements.
Praise God. That was an awesome word. Amen.
So good.
Woo! All right. We have a couple of reminders. We got Post Encounter after service today. It's been going really good. Oh, it's been so good. And so you're getting a double dose today for those that are going to be at the Post Encounter. And also, we have, I just want to go ahead and just remind you guys to greet one another, connect with one another. Continue to pray for one another. And one of the other neat things that's happening now is we've been having worship practice here on Saturday evenings. And the worship practice is kind of turning to prayer. It seems like we just go into prayer a lot. And we just, you know, just want to go before the throne. And so if anybody wants to join us, usually we end up getting done with practice like around 8:15. Practice is from 7 to 8, 8:15, 8:30. And then we go into prayer for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes. It's just a sweet presence of the Lord. And so we just talked about this last night that we should just invite anyone, you know, just prepare this sanctuary to make it a habitation of God's presence. So just want to invite you guys if you want to join us for that. And fellowship with one another. We got donuts out there. Greet one another. Invite people to the Bible studies and different events that are coming up. All right? God bless you guys. Have a great afternoon. Amen.
Praise the Lord.